Aging happens as we live through the years. Change and loss are inevitable. Although there may be a gradual decline in our physical and mental functioning, we can remain vibrant, passionate, and fully alive into our 80s, 90s, and even way past 100. The choices we make now may determine our health and enjoyment of life as the years go by. Day 27 is Love, Loss, and Healthy Aging. Love, Loss, and Healthy Aging. As we age, there is inevitable loss in life. If we have loved deeply, then the loss of that person that we have loved brings us a lot of sadness and grief. Loss of our youthful appearance. Some of us are more attached to that than others. Loss of some of the abilities that we had before, either intellectual or physical abilities or creative abilities. And loss of our health in some way. There is loss, but how we handle it, how we respond to it, our emotional attitudes about it, can make a huge difference in whether we enjoy life and love throughout the rest of our years. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you was? By Satchel Paige. So take a moment to think about that. Close your eyes and think, how old do I feel like I am? Some of us feel so old in our 40s, 50s, 60s, and other people feel vibrant and alive in their 80s and 90s. There was someone who used to play on my tennis team, Stuart, not on a team, but on a round robin. And he was 90, playing with people in their 40s and 50s. And someone asked him, what's the secret to your ability to play at this age? And he said, you start at 70. So he hadn't even started as a youngster. He took up tennis in his 70s, and he kept on playing and enjoyed life. And there are many people doing that, many people. There's a lady who is so physically fit, bodybuilding in her 70s. Her body looks like that of a 25-year-old. So we can do a lot with our life. It's all in our choice, our attitudes, and our beliefs. How old is old? I've asked that question, and people have told me 80, 85, 90. Well, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, there are 3,000 Americans that lived over the years of 100 in 1950. There were 37,306 in 1960 and 73,674 in 2004. And the estimate is that there will be over 1.1 million centenarians, people living past the age of 100 by 2050. And that's just in the United States. What about around the world in a lot of those blue zones that we hear about where they have many centenarians? Will you be one of them? Would you be happy to keep on living with the attitude that you have now and the health, the healthy lifestyle that you have right now? Love Has No Age, No Limit, and No Death by John Galsworthy. There is a fountain of youth. It is your mind, your talents, the creativity you bring to your life and the lives of the people you love. When you learn to tap this source, you will truly have defeated age by Sophia Loren. How do you know you're old? Are these the signs of being old? You have joints and muscles that ache, itchy, spotty, wrinkled, dry skin, poor muscle tone. You get tired easily and you feel weak. You have no sexual, sensual, or intimacy desires. Well, I can tell you that when I was about 19 or 20, I had lots of joint and muscle aches and low back pain. And I had gone horseback riding and it pulled too hard, and I was laying on my back and couldn't move. That was at a very young age. Joints and muscles that ache have very little to do with age. The same with itchy, spotty, wrinkled skin or dry skin. I know several young people that have skin conditions, acne and other kinds of conditions, psoriasis and other conditions that happen at a very young age. It's something in the hormonal balance in their body. Poor muscle tone. I've known a lot of people that had poor muscle tone, got tired easily at very young ages. I taught at a college. These 19-year-olds, some of them were really in bad condition for such a young age. And low sexual or no sexual or sensual desire. There are people at very young ages, I see them in counseling, that have low desire. Some of it's hormonal, some of it's emotional depression or attitudes and beliefs. These are not signs of aging, even though we usually think of them as signs of aging. Other signs that we consider part of aging, you get dizzy standing up or bending over. Well, you might have a blood sugar issue that is causing that, or a heart condition. You're often irritable, grouchy, and depressed. You may have an emotional problem. You could use some counseling. You're depressed. You're anxious. You stop learning or trying new things. Some people are afraid to try anything new. They want to have control. It can be at any age. Aging is not disease. There's a 1% rule that most of us don't realize exists. From age 30 onward, we lose 1% of function each year. So we don't suddenly lose all our functions. It happens slowly, and there's a lot we can do to slow that progression. And what always surprises me when I watch the tennis matches, I'm a tennis fanatic, actually, and what I have seen is that the people who are over 30, they're 32, 33, the people speaking, the announcers start to talk about these players as if they're old in their 30s. It's because they do lose a little bit of the recovery rate. They have had more injuries. There are things that happen as we age, but everyone is different. Our body organs age differently. The organs within my own body age differently. It depends what I've done. If you're drinking alcohol excessively, your liver may be not functioning as well. If you smoke cigarettes, your lungs may be aging more quickly. And whatever you do, if you're eating spicy and fatty foods and not paying attention, your intestines may start to age more rapidly. So your own body organs age differently, and the organs of other people age differently from yours. There's cognitive decline that starts as early as your 20s. That we would never realize. But although there's cognitive decline, your thinking and your memory and that sort of thing, there is also the ability, the plasticity in our brain to continue to grow and learn and expand and become more creative as we age. It depends what you do with your brain, how you stimulate it. And people age differently, depending on genetics and training and learning and behaviors and what they've done earlier. And lifestyle is so many factors and environment. Beautiful young people are accidents of nature, but beautiful old people are works of art by Eleanor Roosevelt. How we age. There are so many ways to define aging, and I'm going to give you a sample of them. Chronological age. That is the age from the moment that you were born to the moment that you're living right now, the number of years, months, days you have lived. Biological age is your physiological obvious signs of aging, such as gray hair, poor vision, wrinkles, spots, aging spots. For biological age, we can do a lot to camouflage that. We can wear makeup, have surgeries to look better. Functional age, though, you can't fake it. You can't cover it up. You either can move a certain way or run a certain distance, or you can't. You can bend and you can pick up heavy things, or you can't. So functional age is really important, and there are now functional trainings for exercise to improve our function as we get older. Psychological age is how you feel. If you feel like you're old and you act depressed and you take on all those emotional signs of aging and you're grouchy and grumpy, like one of the supermarkets that I go to, it's wonderful, healthy market, has a lot of old people and very grouchy old people in general. It's a shame. They feel disappointed. They didn't think they were going to get old, and they expected more from life. Don't expect more from life. Give more to life. Enjoy your days, no matter what age you are, no matter what health you're in. Just enjoy being alive and get whatever you can from being alive. Your emotional age. Some people get stuck at a really young age. That has to do with the way you respond to your environment. Do you have a temper easily? Do you like not care how other people feel? You just jump at them and you get moody and depressed? Or do you adjust to changes, adjust to loss, and still find joy in life and be able to share love? Your intellectual age. Are you stimulating it? What is your thinking like? Are you thinking in new ways, or are you stuck in a rigid way of thinking? And are you doing things to keep your memory alive? Your social age, the strength of your relationships. How strong are your relationships? Do you make an effort to share and be open and nurture and care for your friends and relatives and other people in your life? Your spiritual age. Are you attuned to source energy, to a sense that there's something greater and grander than yourself? And your sexual age, do you still feel sensual? Do you still desire emotional intimacy, or have you just cut yourself off? Do you still love looking out at the universe, at plants and trees and the ocean and flowers and water? Are you sensual, or have you blocked that? Those who love deeply never grow old. They may die of old age, but they die young. And that reminds me, this was by Ben Franklin, that reminds me of a song by Frank Sinatra, Young at Heart. Are you young at heart? Predictors of healthy aging. We all know these. I'm just repeating them. Physical predictors. Diet, exercise, rest, relaxation, and intellectual stimulation, keeping your mind active, emotionally being optimistic and looking forward to things and creating new activities, things to be passionate and excited about, and being happy. Relationships, creating a supportive network of friends and family, and maybe a church or any kind of social gathering through your activities. Spiritual practices that you practice by yourself, your own communion, your own connection to this higher source, so that you do not feel alone, so it feels as though there is a purpose to your life. And sexual or sensual feelings, feeling passionate about love and life all the way through, no matter how old you are and no matter what condition you're in, loving every moment of being alive. We don't stop playing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop playing, by George Bernard Shaw. When was the last time you played and giggled and laughed and had a good time without worrying about anything, just being in the moment? Change and loss are inevitable. Age brings change. We can't help that. Physical strength, endurance, agility, all of that may lessen unless we really work hard to keep it strong. But just because change and loss is inevitable, our attitude can still remain positive, loving, accepting, and joyful. Live now. Live in this moment. We are all here on borrowed time. When you're really young, you don't believe that you're going to grow old. But as the years go by, you see, I'm growing older. I'm this age, and then I'm this age, and then I'm this age. You're getting older. And how are you going to live those years? Are you going to be positive and happy, or resentful and always looking back at the past and wishing you could go back to that time? the key to healthy aging. If I recognize my body's symptoms as related to my thoughts, I gain insight into my subconscious, which coordinates my body functions. Through my sensual awareness, I learn to change habitual patterns. I let go of neuromuscular constrictions and long-held, inaccurate, wrong beliefs. Touch for healing. What I just shared, that little piece, is about how we can heal, and touch can help us to do that. There's one gene that is only turned on by touch. There are genes that regulate touch cell development, and if we don't get touched in a loving way at a young age, we may have a deprivation of our capacity for enjoying touch. Neuropeptides travel through your body, storing memories of events in all of your cells. Gentle, caring, respectful touch can help you to access buried memories, can help you to recall and release the emotional pain and return to a state of love. The healing power of touch. Dr. Tiffany Field has done a lot of work in touch research. She created the Touch Research Institute, and she has shown through her studies of 15 minutes of massage 3 times a week, that's not a lot, of gentle touch and specific touch, and so many things have healed: pain relief, pain management, better circulation, deeper breathing, less anxiety, greater relaxation, body awareness, body acceptance, increased energy, greater flexibility, elevated mood and sensuality, all of that and more just from simple touch. Have you been touching lately? If you have a pet, pet your animal, feel the touch, enjoy the touch. Types of healing touch therapies. Massage is only one type. Traditional massage therapy uses oils. The client is usually undressed and wrapped in a sheet or a blanket, and there are specific strokes, gentle strokes to get the muscles to let go and loosen and relax. And there are little tapping motions and vibrational motions, and there's a series, a specific series. Then there's contemporary Western massage and bodywork. That includes much more. It keeps on growing, such as medical massage and infant massage and pregnancy massage and injury massages specific to whatever is going on. So there are many new techniques, and animal massage, horse massage, all kinds of techniques have developed that can help us to heal. Structural functional movement alignment techniques. Structural techniques. One is chiropractic. Another one is Rolfing, with deep tissue massage. Very painful, but it can really rebalance your body. Functional massage. They don't call it massage. Functional type of body therapy. One type is Feldenkrais. You make certain movements. For example, you stretch your arm and point your finger, and it's releasing your hip. It's amazing how the body is all coordinated. We're a hologram. Another type is Alexander technique, where you are aware of your alignment and you're releasing, keeping your chin out. You bring your chin in and allow the alignment to help your body to flow more freely. In my training with the Rubenfeld Synergy Method, we had a lot of Alexander technique and Feldenkrais sessions. We really got that sense of our body as a hologram. Movement. Any type of therapy like Thai massage, where you move, it pulls you in different directions. And I'll talk more about that in a moment. And alignment. There are body therapies to help you get into alignment. And some of these that I mentioned will do that. Then there are the Asian and transcultural body therapies like Russian massage. Every country has its own type of massage. There's Korean massage, Japanese massage, Chinese medical theory, and then the body work that goes with that. There's Tuina, there's acupressure, acupuncture with needles, and many other types. This is mostly based on the 12 meridians, and each country and each style does it differently. Energetic body work. That's working on the energetic fields around your body and within your body. And one that has gotten very popular is Reiki. Another one is therapeutic touch, and there are many others. Somatic education. What that includes is awareness of what's going on emotionally, feeling how your thoughts and feelings are affecting your body. And Peter Levine has created wonderful somatic education in terms of trauma, helping people heal from trauma through that awareness, that body awareness, and releasing the trauma. And then expressive arts therapies like dance and music and drawing and painting and writing, all of that can help you to access your subconscious, those beliefs underlying what's happening, and can help you to heal. And body-oriented psychotherapy. I've been trained in several, and I had several bioenergetic analysis sessions. They evaluate your body, and you become aware of what you're really thinking and feeling way back from your childhood. And the Rubenfelt Synergy Method, which is my main training, and craniosacral somato-emotional release. There are so many methods, and it's all helpful to get you in touch with yourself. Befriend your body with RSM, the Rubenfelt Synergy Method. Alana Rubenfelt put together this wonderful training combining Alexander technique, Feldenkrais techniques, there were movement therapies in there, and Ericksonian hypnosis and Gestalt therapy, plus spirituality. It was a beautiful combination, and the organization still exists. And they started a movement called Befriend Your Body, because so many people are not friends with their body. They're mad at their body. Maybe you mad at your body for not performing the way you wanted to. But what you don't understand is you are your body. Your thoughts and your beliefs and your attitudes are affecting your body. So get in touch with that. If you're interested, contact me. I can get you in touch with someone locally in your area. Synergy of talk and touch. This is why it's called the Rubenfelt Synergy Method. You develop better coping skills, higher self-esteem, greater communication, a sense of a higher self, which helps you to see your situation from a higher, broader perspective. The joy of learning, meaning and purpose, feeling inner beauty, expressing joy, capacity for love, heightened intimacy, a sense of your femininity or masculinity or both, and acceptance, allowance of change. The other major mentor that I had is Dr. John Upledger. He taught craniosacral therapy. He was an osteopath. He created these incredible books with so much medical terminology, anatomy, and physiology. And then, as you get toward the end of the book, he talks about sessions that he's had, past life regressions, going back into other lifetimes, so that he bridged a gap between the medical community and the spiritual and body therapy communities. So his work is also continuing with his son, Matthew, John Matthew Upledger, at the Upledger Institute in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. But there are craniosacral therapists all around. And get in touch with me and I can help you. Either if you're in my area, I can work with you, or I can gear you towards somebody that can help. Just a few sessions can make a huge difference in your understanding of your own body and your life. And just briefly, I put this chart up to allow your energy to flow freely. Look at the Asian philosophy with the 12 meridians, and there are other meridians too, but these meridians flow vertically around your body. The chakras are a horizontal system, but our body has all of it. And just briefly, these meridians flow through your body, and when they are blocked somewhere, the particular meridian is connected to a particular organ system. So the function of that organ. So for example, if your lung meridian is blocked, you may be feeling a lot of grief. Or if you're feeling a lot of grief, that lung meridian may get constricted. And a therapist, a shiatsu practitioner or acupressure person would help you to unblock that meridian. And then there would be another meridian that is too active at the moment. So maybe the kidney meridian with a lot of fear because you just lost someone and you have fear. So each meridian is related to certain emotions, like your gallbladder would have to do with decisions. Your heart has to do with love or blocked love. And so this is an amazing system, comprehensive, and you see the body as a hologram. Touch for love. Touch connects us to the world. Touch teaches, touch heals. Sometimes touch hurts. Touch is powerfully intimate. Through touching and being touched, we feel and we heal. When we are touched with love, respect, and gentle caring, our hearts become open and receptive to love. Touch me, please. Touch me, please. I want to know you. Touch me, please. I don't know how. Touch me, please. We'll know each other. Touch me, please. This is from my book, Touch Me, Please, and also Heal Me, Please. Those are two books to really look into the touch therapies and the healing modalities. This 30-day love challenge is serious and life-changing. You will see amazing results if you seriously intend to expand your loving and love fearlessly and openly. As we close, remember, start each day focused on love. In every moment, feel the love. End each day realizing love, and every day repeat the love pledge. Start each day focused on love. In every moment, ask, what would love do now? For me, for my future, and for others, knowing all that I do brings me closer or further from love. End each day realizing the power of love. Review the moments you turned away from love, shared your love freely, felt loved by others. The love pledge, say it silently to yourself and out loud, preferably looking in a mirror. Every day I develop greater awareness and communication, acceptance and forgiveness, compassion and tenderness, love, trust, and respect for myself and for others. Love agenda for today. In your love habits journal, write about love, loss, and healthy aging. Ask yourself, how are you maintaining your health? What are you doing now to keep yourself healthy? Describe how loss has affected you and your capacity for love. And what have you done to cope with loss and to bring yourself back into loving life and enjoying every moment? Please share your healthy aging in the Facebook group. I'm so happy you've been joining me in all these lessons about love, and I look forward to sharing with you again in the next lesson.